Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Chapter 6, verse 5. Very familiar portion of Scripture, and we're going to use it as our text. But the Lord was impressing on me some things this week as I was interceding for the house. I pray for you. I call your names out before the Lord. Every week I cover you in prayer. If this is your house, you are bathed in prayer. And not only do I and Dr. Tim, but also our intercessors, they pray for you as well. Let's thank God for the intercessors of the house. Amen. But as I was praying and seeking God, this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. There's a spirit of oppression that's come upon the body of Christ. And upon the, even, if how many are in the body of Christ? So that would be, say that would be me. Don't mean that you're oppressed, but a spirit of oppression is attacking the people of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. And you can follow along on the board or read in your Bibles. I like the old-fashioned way. Amen. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against. Say, stand against. Let's say it three times. Stand against, stand against, stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting this in our government right now. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Let's say withstand three times. Withstand, withstand, withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Let's say that three times. Praying always. Praying always. Praying always. This is how you're going to stand and withstand. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, there's praying, but there's praying in the Spirit. We got to pray in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If I subtitled, this is a series I'm beginning, Casting Out Oppression. And this week's message is called Reset. The first thing we have to do in order to cast out any spirit is to recognize it, right? And this is what Holy Spirit spoke first as I was praying. He says, we're not recognizing the spirit of oppression. We think it's our jobs. We think it's our finances. We think it's the kids. We think it's sickness. We think it's problems. We think it's the situation that we're standing in, the circumstance. Circumstance, the circle you're standing in, circumstance, your life right now. You think life is just happening to you and it's overwhelming. But the Lord said we have to recognize a spirit of oppression. Now, the definition means to cause to feel worried and down, being afflicted and physically afflicted or mentally afflicted, bearing a heavy load of work, difficulties or responsibilities, undue pressure to pull you away. And Satan's mode of operation is to make you feel, hear me friends, feel disadvantaged, helpless, misused, abused, underprivileged, exploited, a slave, downtrodden, a burden, to make you feel hopeless, putting undue pressure to pull you away from God, to pull you away from his house, to pull you away from God's people, to pull you away from your assignment that he's called you to do in your life. All the while, God's word says that you are highly favored, you are esteemed, you are a king and a priest unto God. You are chosen, you are redeemed, you are liberated, you have the believer's authority, and you have the advantage, and you are loved. Whose report will you believe today? If we deal with oppression, we live free. But if we don't deal with oppression, that spirit of oppression will become a stronghold in our life. People who are always negative live under a spirit of oppression, and they don't even realize it. They think, well, it's life. There was a family reunion that was held, and what this family would do is they would just simply write on a card a blessing that came into their life in the past year. And they would just write it, and then somebody would just simply start reading, and everybody would begin to try to guess whose blessing that was. That was how they got to share about the past year in a positive way. And one lady, she said, she was a mom, she was a wife, a grandma. She says, I don't have anything to write down. There's not one thing that I can write down. Now, the surprise was that when it was being read, her son said, I just so loved the look on mom's face when we gave her her 65th surprise birthday party. Later on, as they were reading, another one came up, and it was her daughter that says, one of my favorite times this year was when me and mama went to the spa and had an all-day spa. We had a massage, we had a facial, we had a pedicure, we had a manicure. We just enjoyed being treated all day long. Now, this is the same woman, didn't have nothing great happen that God blessed her with that year. And then the husband said, well, we haven't done it yet, but we're so excited. We've saved up, and we're going on a Bill Gaither Alaskan cruise. And Sad Sack couldn't think of one thing to be thankful for. Why? Because she was under a spirit of oppression. All she could see was a negativity, and a negativity to her outweighed any blessing that God had given her. If we are going to be set free, we've got to recognize it as a spirit of oppression. And then this woman, and any person, Sharon included, which I have, we have to repent for the negativity, for submitting to that demonic spirit that causes us to speak negative things and to respond in a negative way. A spirit of oppression will cause you never to be thankful for what God has done in your life, and it will keep you in that place of defeat. You will always be a victim. Repent. And then after you repent, you can begin to resist it, and you can begin to cast it out. Ha! Many don't repent because they say, it's not my fault this happens to me. Or they don't repent because they say, well, if God was for me, there would be good things happening. And they just begin to rationalize why they don't need to repent. But I believe we all need to repent. Amen? Sharon repents. You know, if you don't repent, you're exalting the problem over God's word. Turn to your neighbor and say, good morning. So you just keep hearing this word and you're going to be set free today. Tell them. You just keep hearing this word and you're going to be set free. Tell somebody. You keep hearing this word, you're going to be set free today. Amen. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, and the whole book of Ephesians, matter of fact, he was in a Roman jail. Nero, now this is not in your Bible, don't come to me and say, I didn't see this in the Word, this is in history, tells us. Nero, he saw himself as a god. And in AD 64, he decided that he wanted to reconstruct Rome, and especially around the capital city mainly. And he wanted to erect all of these statues of himself. And, of course, there was a lot of idolatry anyway. But he wanted all these statues of himself erected and all these monuments erected unto him so that people could be paying homage to him, so people could bow to him. How, say, just say sick. What a sick narcissist. And so he takes it before the Senate, and the Senate says, we're not going to demolish our city to rebuild it and to put these gods up for you. We're not going to do that. So he got angry, and he took his servants. Now, this is Nero. He took his servants, and he had them torch the cities round about. In fact, there were like 12 sections that they totally burnt to the ground. Businesses, homes, the city. Because he thought, if it's destroyed, they're going to have to rebuild it, and I will be able to put statues up of me. Well, the Senate, and he was inspired by his mother, Jezebel. Well, her name wasn't Jezebel, but it was a spirit. And he was inspired to do this. And so the Senate looked at this and said, you know, it's kind of odd that his castle was spared. And the area where all these plans and architectural plans were, all that was spared. This is kind of fishy. And so they began to look at it, and they said, I believe there's evidence that we can have an FBI investigation. We can have an investigation here. And so they found all the erased emails. I mean, they found all the... I'll just lighten up. Too much Fox News. Anyway, so they found the evidence that they felt it was that they could prosecute him, and they were going to execute Nero and put him to death for this. It was a great loss. Well, he has an antichrist devil about him, and he comes up with a scheme that it was a right-wing conspiracy. I mean, it was the Christians. It was the Christians who actually had done this, and the Apostle Paul was leader of the church, and Paul incited these riots and incited these torch burning of the city. He came up with that plan so well because the servants that he had that did it could be witnesses and say, yeah, I saw these church people do it, and these church people, I couldn't make out exactly who they were, but they were from that church. So what they did, they arrest the Apostle Paul, put him in a Roman prison. Now, you will never hear him saying, I'm in here unjustly. What does he say? I'm here for the preaching of the gospel. Are you with me? Because he saw the spirit, the demons. It was against him preaching and establishing churches and doing the apostolic ministry. And so this scheme was brought against him. He was falsely accused, and he was executed for what somebody else did. Nero. I don't know about you, but that would be easy to come under a spirit of oppression. This is an injustice. But Paul was not oppressed. Paul was victorious. No wonder he wrote, while he was bound in this Roman jail, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Wow. Paul was not oppressed. He was victorious. Say it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that when Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Don't you love that? In other words, according to what I've been preaching. Wherein I suffer trouble. He said, this is while I'm in prison. You see, there were rumors going around that maybe he is bad. And there were even churches that were distancing themselves from him. Because they thought, well, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. I love that. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake. He took the blunt of everything so the church would not be executed for this. He permitted this. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall reign with him. So while in prison, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, the book of Philippians, the book of Ephesians, the book of 2 Timothy, and the book of Philemon, I believe it was. Now think about this. As busy as he was in ministry traveling, he may not have had time to write these books. The Word of God was not bound. 2 Timothy 4:7, he says this at the end of his life. I have fought a good fight. It was good because he won over the spirits. You say, how did he win if he was martyred? Oh, he lives on today. He says, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Church records show some other things too. I remember reading in the book of Acts about Aquila and Priscilla. They actually began their ministry in Rome. And they had a church. It started in their, it began in the house and then began to spread. And they really had a good work going in Rome, church history tells us. They lived in one of the Jewish colonies in Rome. And under the emperor Claudius, the Jews were forced to leave. Now, they had a Gentile church. But the Jews were forced to leave. What does that mean? It means they had to say goodbye to all of their parishioners. I can't imagine how sad that Sunday must have been when they installed another pastor. Now, they were apostles, but were walking as pastors. They installed another pastor. They kissed and hugged, no doubt, everyone, probably laid hands on everyone, and says, I won't see you again. We're being forced to leave. Can you imagine the sorrow of that church in Rome? Can you imagine the sorrow of them? They're leaving. They're being exiled like fugitives. Losing their home. Losing everything. But the Word of God shows us that their ministry just began when they left Rome because they hooked up with the Apostle Paul, more signs and wonders. They got a greater anointing. They began to do more. In fact, they would have never ran into Apollos, who did not even know of Jesus and his baptism, only John's baptism. And he was called into fivefold, and Priscilla as well began to mentor him. That would have never happened if he had not been, they had not been expelled from Rome. And then church history tells us that they go and they basically have a strong, large work, large ministry in Corinth. So the devil can't win. Say, the devil can't win. The devil does not have the last word when it comes to the kingdom of God and God's purposes. In fact, I believe God saw, well, go ahead, devil. I really believe God had probably spoken to them before to leave, and they wouldn't move. I really feel that in my spirit. I don't have no proof of that. I'll ask them when we get to heaven. They'll set me straight if I'm wrong. But no doubt, God was already showing them, we're going to pull you out. And they didn't want to pull out. And so all of a sudden, God says, oh, well, whatever, if it takes this, so be it. Because I got a great plan for that church in Rome. I have great people to raise up there. And I have great, 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 say great, plans for Aquila and Priscilla, the apostolic team. Glory to God. And we saw their ministry grow to higher heights. We would have probably never known about them if they hadn't got expelled from Rome. Think about that. John on the Isle of Patmos. I mean, it's not like the Bahamas. The Isle of Patmos was a barren place. It was a horrible place. He was probably living in a cave. But we don't see him under a spirit of oppression. Oh, but the contrary. He said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. And the word of God was not bound, because Jesus appeared to him and said, I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, I am the end. Write these things that I show you to come. We have the word of God. Word of God cannot be bound. Say, it can't be bound. So don't bind it up in your life. Declare the word of the Lord. First, we recognize the spirit of oppression. We repent. We begin to resist. And I'm closing, because I told you I wouldn't keep you long. I'm a lady of her word, I think. It's time. We cast these things off. It's time to reset. Why? Because we've been focusing in a negative direction. We've been thinking all these negative things, which was basically believing whatever Satan is saying. And our focus has been there instead of on Jesus, instead of our vision of what God has laid out for us. It's time to reset. Now, what does it mean to reset? Reset is the act of setting something broken. If you break a bone, what does the doctor do? Resets the broken bone. If you lose a stone out of your ring and you take it to a jeweler, what will he do? He will reset the stone. The act of setting something broken. It also means to set to a certain position, to cause something to operate properly. To reset means to restart, like a stopwatch. This is what we're going to reset, focused on Romans 8:28. We all know it. Then I'm going to give you the word of the Lord, the prophecy God gave me to speak over you. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to get these spirits of oppression off of you this morning. Let's read this together. And we know. Okay. Do we know? Do we? Ask yourself, do I know this? I know the verse, but do I know this as a reality in my life? And we know that. What do we know? All things work for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things don't work together for good. They don't. I've seen many things not work together for good. I've even seen things not work for the good to people who actually love God. How about you? Anybody here? Because what does it say? Not only to love God, to them that are the... Many are called, few are chosen. What does that say? We have a choice. Again, here we have the choice. To them that are the called according to His purpose. I've decided, come hell or high water, I'm going to stay in His purpose. No matter the cost, no matter the loss, I'm going to stay in His purpose because I love Him. I'm going to, if the wind is blowing, I'm going to grab the word and steady myself with the word. If the night is dark, I want to keep my praise. As Robin was opening up with that scripture this morning, that is for somebody today. We have a choice. We can submit to oppression, and if you do, it will grow and grow until it becomes a stronghold in your life, and it's going to be almost impossible to break by yourself. You're going to need somebody else to help break that spirit of oppression. It can be done, but don't let it become a stronghold. Let's read it again. And we know all things work together, the good things and the bad things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. Here's what Holy Spirit said. The wicked devices of Satan to oppress you are working a greater weight of glory. In fact, what was meant to harm will qualify you for advancement, the Lord says. God said it's not over. God is about to show himself mightily in and for you. Lay hold of this word this morning. Reset. 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 If you need a reset this morning, I want you just to come and stand. That means you need some things cast off. Just come and stand this morning.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."